You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Katrin Androschin. Now we're talking.
No, we're listening.
Oh,
you're talking.
Oh my God.
You just said so. Now we're talking.
Oh yeah.
We are talking.
Yeah. I'm talking.
You started? Okay. We're at the default number one conference in Vienna, Austria. It's January 27th, 2007. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
And we're here with?
Katrin.
Katrin?
From Berlin.
From Berlin. Welcome. The first question is, are you religious?
Oh my God, what a question. I'm not, but I believe in certain morals which I was raised with. I was raised in Austria, in a very conservative part of Austria, and you really get to know all these ethical and moral standards, so they are kind of inside yourself. But apart from that, I have a pretty free mind.
And which standard do you value the most?
I value. That's a good question. I value the most if people respect each other. And funny enough, in all the youth culture, you find this word respect a lot. And I think it's a religious value after all. I think that's the most important thing. If you respect other people's work. Yeah.
We'll go back to the other. Okay. For example, you're involved in branding, and when you say that, also could possibly mean that you work on a company that is quite a large company, that is then you would go into globalization. How does that involve respect? I mean, there is a lot of
This is the whole globalization discussion. And I think this is a very important discussion to lead. I think globalization is not necessarily bad. If you talk to people like attackers, or this is like the bad guy all the time, but globalization also creates jobs in some countries and helps people to fight AIDS, for example. Of course, there are pharmaceutical companies which stop that AIDS is being diminished, but in some cases it also helps. You have to look into it in detail, and I think it's always important to look behind the scenes, also in globalization. And I like working for big brands because it gives you an opportunity to do something interesting, to do something good. But you have to look carefully behind what's going on in this brand, in this company. I would never work for any company which produces weapons directly. But then, when you decide that you are working as a graphic designer, you decide that you work for money. So, in a sense, you sinned at this point already, because you're working for somebody who pays you. So you're already in a market. And if you're in a market, you are participant of the global market automatically. So, in a sense, you are accepting the basic laws of market, the basic laws of capitalism, if you use the terminology of some people.
Yeah, but there's also a different scale also. I mean,
that's yes. Right.
Also, the amount of involvement is also very important for, you can set your own rules for the way that you are engaged in the whole capitalist system, while working for major companies does not allow that.
How do you mean it doesn't allow it?
It does not allow for you to set the rules. They set the rules and you work along with them or not.
Well, yes and no.
What I'm saying is I can't see it to change something within a company like that, because the forces are so immense, they're so big, there's nothing you actually can do.
I think you can as a designer, because we are designers and we are working in a language which has an emotional value, and most people, especially in boards of directors, are not trained in this language. So in a sense, we have a power there to change things by introducing some sort of design which leads into a certain direction. And you are the king or the queen of a meeting. If you manage to build the bridge between the sort of rational and the rationale of a board, and the emotional possibilities a logo or an identity has. So in a sense, you have a power there. I mean, if the designer who's designed the Nike logo would have known what power this logo has, it was a mistake. She only got very little money for that. But it's a big chance. We can do a very strong emotional, let's say a logo because it's easy to explain. You can do a very powerful logo for a weapons company. You can do a very powerful logo for Greenpeace or for some NGO. It's up to you.
Do you ever say no to a project?
Well, I do. I mean, I haven't been asked from very dubious clients. I said no once to a company which did some strange business relationship to countries which were doing warfare, and it wasn't quite clear. Very often it's not very obvious, so it was a bit shady, and I decided not to go for that. I do say no for other reasons as well. I never say yes all the time, never ever.
But for example, would you, this is a sort of weird question, when it's global branding, would you compare it to the euro in Europe, that a lot of countries sort of felt that they were losing their character because of that? It was no longer the money represented a character, and you have that with companies. Try and achieve that in each country, for example, they have also the voice of that country, or does it? It doesn't matter.
I think we are in a world which is globalized due to media, due to transportation, due to the ability to talk from one country to the other via Skype with no money.
Yeah.
We can't stop this because mankind is per se moving on. So we are in the situation we are in. So this is a fact. Now, if we want to stop that, that will never work. So in a sense, it's better to say, okay, this is happening, and I'm trying to do the best. I'm trying to making the best for that, instead of being just a person who says, no, I don't want to deal with it. Because in the end, you leave it to others to...
A bad job.
To maybe to do a bad job, exactly.
Well, isn't your job, not specifically you, but one's job to question and discuss and talk about it, and get it on the agenda, like, is this what we want? Is this the direction that we're taking?
Yeah, and there are two ways. Either you oppose and use the media to ask these questions, or you go inside companies or institutions and question from within. And sometimes that's a question that some people say 100% like that, 100% like that. I think the truth is in between. Sometimes it helps to discuss from inside and change people from inside, and sometimes from the outside. You always have to find the fine line, what is right in this situation.
What do you think is the bigger challenge to do a job that you really, for a cause or a product or a company that really warms your heart, you really feel, or like a company that has the bigger name and is like, I'm not saying dubious, more like into global, like Nike or something.
Yeah,
what do you
yeah.
think is the bigger challenge?
I think the big challenge is to be yourself. And yourself, you're often made of two parts. One person is, I am a designer, and I do design for money, and I have nothing against that, because it's better to do design for money and live on the design work than doing design for free, ruining the design market, driving a taxi or doing some other job you don't want to do in the meantime. So I think it's more productive to be in the center of what you like to do. I think that's very important, to be yourself. And so in this case, sometimes you're going to take jobs which pay you acceptable money, with restrictions, as I said, no dubious companies. And then on the other hand, you want to do something for friends, for a good cause, where you're not going to get paid anything. And this makes a true personality if you're doing both. That's only human, as opposed to just doing one or just doing the other. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It does not mean that one is treason or something to the other.
No, absolutely not. Because you're getting better. You're getting better in the one cause if you do the other. If I manage to do a professional branding project for an NGO, I do good things for the NGO, and I can never do it if I've never done a project for a profitable company.
And how does artistic freedom get in there? Because it's better to have a job like the one who gives you the job says, well, go ahead, you have carte blanche, you can do whatever you want, while these big companies have big books of rules and regulations and what their product has to answer to. And that's do you miss that?
Yeah, but you know what's happening, and that's the funny thing, that the bigger companies, they pay you money for your expertise and they let you do stuff. And sometimes the small ones, where you give the money, where you give them the work for free, they're much more complicated. They keep arguing all the time, and they say, I don't like this, and I don't like that. Sometimes it's more complicated to work for a friend for free, because he keeps wanting change without any restrictions. So that's the funny thing. I mean, I don't say companies don't have restrictions. Of course they have. But sometimes it's
but
right.
But does that bother you? Those you have to work within a frame like this.
No, I decided to do that. I decided to be a graphic designer, a communication designer, and I decided that I want to work for somebody, that I want to visualize thoughts and identities of other people. I'm not an artist. I'm a designer, and I work for a client. I like that, and I like the fact to find this sort of, I call it the in-between in German, the in-between between what the client is and what I can do as a designer. And that's a very, very interesting piece which sticks in between.
And do you feel that you're in quite a powerful position because brands are now becoming even more powerful than governments? You might vote, but it's a company that will decide. And then can increase employment or decrease. It becomes so powerful that not everyone has a choice anymore.
You don't feel that position so often. Sometimes you may have an idea that you're executing some sort of power here, but very often, I mean, I'm a designer, but I'm also a citizen. And I'm also a consumer, and I'm a multiple personality, like everybody of us is. So sometimes I also feel powerless as a consumer or as an environmentally conscious person, or as a cyclist, which I am, or as a passenger of an airplane. Or I'm always a different person, and as a designer, sometimes I feel it a bit. I also feel it when in education I teach, so sometimes I can feel that it's important to tell some facts to people. So that's also a power which I take very seriously.
And which would be a brand that you would like to redesign? It's a dream, but you're thinking, I wish I could do that. Or it definitely needs a redesign.
Well, I think Europe needs redesigning. I've never approached them, but I think the European identity needs some thinking. I mean, you all know these things which happened with the referendums in France and other countries. I think Europe is a very interesting thing, also something which happens over time, and that Europe is growing together, but excluding other countries at the same time. That's something which needs more reflection, and this identity has to be shaped. Because hardly anybody of us is aware of the fact that many laws are made in Brussels. Everybody thinks it's your own national government who does that. So I think there would be an interesting work to do. But it's not only design, it's also thinking of an identity. But I would like to do that. But I'm sure there are many others. But I think I would like to do that.
Have you lived up to your parents' expectations?
Oh, I think so.
They understand what you do?
Yeah, they do. They do. They haven't known. They didn't know exactly what visual communication was when I studied. But they liked very much how I got into it and how I changed, and the fact that I moved out of Austria, which in Austria many people stay in the country. And the fact that I lived in other countries. My mother always was the first one to visit me wherever I was, which I really, really appreciated.
Yeah.
And I never broke with my home. I it's important for me, and I come back very often, and it's an important base for me, an emotional base, and a reference point. I think I still, although I have been living abroad for 20 years, I still always refer to my home place somehow if I do something different.
But you, for example, when we started the conversation, you said I'm from Germany. You don't say
Austria. I lived in Berlin.
But you just said I know you're from Austria, but you said from Germany. I assume because you live there, Austrian.
My accent is still very Austrian, and I don't want to lose it because I think it's part of me.
Yeah. You're also teaching in Bolzano.
That's right.
Why do they call it a free university?
That's just because it's not a state university.
Okay.
That's not because of a free mind, but it's only. That's not a lot.
And then do you like teaching?
I like teaching a lot.
What do you like about it?
Yeah, I like the fact that I've learned a lot in my professional work, and I like to hand it over to somebody else. I like to talk to the people who are 30 years younger than me and to explain what I've been doing in the last year, why I'm doing certain things, why I don't do certain things, how I do it. It's exciting to see the reaction. It's exciting to exchange views. And Bolzano is not too far from the place where I grew up, so I have the feeling I bring it back to the area where I grew up.
To go back to the money thing, would you say that money makes the world go round? Don't be shy.
I'm not shy. It's the simple questions which take me aback, but I think that's probably the case. If we are working in design, we always try to fight against that. We always say design makes the world go round, or visual emotions makes the world go round. We want it to be different, but ultimately money plays a big role for decision-making processes in companies.
And if you weren't a designer, do you know what you would have? Would you like to be, or would you have liked to be?
Yeah, I would like to be. I know, because I would like to be a restaurant critique. You know,
oh, really?
Those guys. I don't know how you call it in English. Those people who go in restaurants and test the restaurants and write some text about it and test the wine. And I think I would like that because I like to eat. And I like to talk about eating.
You can. So, what's your favorite dish?
I like Austrian desserts. I like Austrian cakes, all sorts. But I also like Thai cuisine very much.
Do you have a favorite recipe? I mean, something that you would like to give us to all the listeners?
Maybe I should tell you my recipe for Kaiserschmarrn, which is very Austrian dessert. But I don't know if I should tell you how it really works, because it's a secret.
Secret recipe.
But, will you invite us for dinner?
Yes, I'd love to. That would be a big pleasure.
Last question. How would you like to be remembered?
I I've never thought about that. I live very much for the moment.
No, wait, one question before. If you were a brand, what brand would you be?
I would be, if I'm very much the design teacher now, I would be a flexible identity. You know, these kinds of logos which change a lot, which adapt to certain applications and
like
certain
a telecom
media.
IT logo, which changes every two, no.
Yeah, I don't know how this looks like, yeah. But something like, maybe you haven't seen it before, because it still has to be created. I don't want it to be something from the past, I want it to be something from the future, which is liquid and moving and unseen of. That's what I would like to be.
Then I still want to know how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as somebody who... Oh, that's really a difficult question, you know? I would like to be remembered as somebody who interacts well with people, somebody who is a person which can build a bridge between the word and the image. Yeah, that's what I like to be remembered for.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Downloaded from typeradio.org.